You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Friday. It's Martin.
Dan.
Chris.
I'm tired.
We're all tired.
Going to be one of those shows?
I just got home from work and I fell asleep on the couch and... Now I'm hoping Coke Live picks me up here a little bit.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm tired. Comic books.
Comic
Friday.
Books. Yep.
We should talk about comic books.
Yes.
What do you guys want to talk about? How about comic books?
Comic books.
Comic books.
Comic book related stuff.
Should we start right off with Marvel being a bunch of D-bags?
Sure. Jump right into it.
Ugh. So I don't know if anybody read this yet online or not. But I guess Marvel is shipping some vendors free comic books. So they're doing, 150 extra percent of any U.S. Avengers? No, just Avengers, number 4. So if you order 100 copies, they're going to send you 250 copies. And some of the solo titles from Guardians of the Galaxy, like Gamora and Star-Lord and those ones.
Yeah,
extra 100%. So you order 50 copies, you're going to get 100. So that kind of inflates the sales numbers a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
My trick question is, though, is that going to count towards dollar value? Like, how do they calculate dollar value? Do they just take the volume shipped, multiply by the cover price? So they're going to claim a dollar value on these free comics that were shipped out?
Yeah, it's a good question. It never really said in the ad, right? Article. Marvel needs to just stop. Just scratch everything and just start over.
And there was I like Marvel just as much as I like any other comic company, so don't get me wrong. But I just don't understand Marvel zombies. They're kind of like Apple sheep.
Yeah.
They I'm not saying Apple doesn't make great products, they do, but let's not drink the Kool-Aid. Let's realize that if you squeeze an iPhone 4 the wrong way, it cuts off the phone signal. You know, how many people with plastic MacBooks suffer with splinters from the cracking along the edges and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like this. Like, I'm not saying it's not good, but let's not just ignore everything. So some Marvel zombie was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Marvel's hitting on all cylinders. Doctor Strange is awesome. And it's like, okay, how about Solo? Prowler.
Yeah.
Like, why is Prowler getting his own book? Yeah. How many people were screaming for a Fool Killer book?
Yeah.
And yet, what do we got? Fool Killer. Like, just, I was just annoyed.
But even worse is that instead of putting out good product, like DC is doing with the Rebirth titles, they're just trying to fake it.
Yeah, it's just, now, again, I'm not saying every single DC Rebirth title is great, because there are a couple of duds in the pile. But overall, in speaking, you know, they're getting you excited about these characters. I'm so unexcited about Marvel, I'm not putting any other books on my pull list.
No.
Like, I'm just not interested. I mean, we could go on and on over and over again how Spider-Man is actually Iron Man, right down to the African-American sidekick.
Yeah.
You know, and just...
No, it's like I said, they just need this... They need to reboot, but not continue. Just start over fresh.
They wouldn't even have to, really.
Just everything.
Just bring, like, you know, just how they have Thor is running around looking for a different hammer.
Yeah.
Okay, let him find it.
Yeah.
Let Jane Foster pass away from cancer or whatever the heck she has, or get cured from cancer, and just bring him back as Thor. Like, just be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, Iron Man Tramp Vancing. Is he still in China or Japan? Last I read Amazing Spider-Man, he was Parker Industries in Japan.
I have no idea. I gave up.
Oh, that's just so sad.
I gave up.
That's just so sad. Other than that, I don't know. Speaking of DC hitting it out of the park, did you guys read the Superman annual?
Yes, the Batman annual.
Okay. So before I get into that,
yeah,
the Superman annual was pretty cool.
It was, yeah.
It was Superman and Swamp Thing?
Swamp Thing.
And the basic premise is that, and I tried to explain this without explaining it, but anybody who's not reading DC, Superman right now is like the old 80s Superman.
Yeah.
In the new 52 universe.
Right.
So I guess the idea here is that the Mother Nature's not pleased with that.
Yeah.
So Dr. Alec Holland has to show Superman how to forgive himself.
Yeah.
I don't understand the concept. And... So that Mother Nature's happy and then everything's good. And it was weird premise, but it was actually a great title, like a great issue.
Yeah. Because he absorbs the solar radiation different than the new 52.
Superman they made some pseudoscience reason to make it work.
Yeah.
But the nice thing I liked about it was like class A art, class A writing, you know, top tier artists, top tier writers. It was Gleason and who was the other fellow who wrote? It was a co-writing thing.
Yeah.
And then it was Jorge who did the art.
Thomas?
Yes. Thomas something. Anyways, it was really good.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like, you know, most annuals seem like they're fillers.
Yeah.
Like it was just some junk laying around. And yeah, we're about to get to Batman. It just seemed like a really good title, a story, and it was coherent and unlike we are today. And it was just a good, good comic book.
Yeah.
I do think you need to kind of know a little bit about what's going on. So it wouldn't be like the issue to give somebody to introduce them to Superman.
Yeah, because it goes back to everything.
Yeah, exactly. But it was nice.
Yeah, and going into a book and not knowing, like, you're reading it, what's going on? Ah, Swamp Thing! I haven't seen him for a while, you know, I haven't read a book with him. It was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It was pretty cool, because they didn't outright say on the cover that Swamp Thing was going to be on it, so it was a bit of a surprise when you're flipping through, you know.
Yeah.
Clark Kent's just sitting on the farm going, oh, where's the water?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But then the Batman annual...
Yeah, they were completely different types of annuals.
Right? The Batman annual wasn't an annual so much, it was like a Christmas special.
Yeah.
Every single story was Christmas themed. There was, what, six different stories in there?
Yeah.
Five or six,
yeah.
A couple of pages each, and they were just really disjointed. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the first one was cutesy with Ace the Bat Hound.
Yeah.
But other than that, the rest of them were just like, how much did I spend on this?
Although Neil Adams... I like the artwork in his story.
I don't know.
I mean, compared to Coming of the Superman.
Yeah, when Neil pencils his own stuff, like, not inks, sorry, but not inking, just by cranking the contrast up in Photoshop, it always looks, I want to say crappy, but no, it does. It looks crappy.
Yeah.
It looks unfinished. But yeah, I didn't like that one as much.
No. No, they were completely different styles. Like, one was just a fun story filler, and the other one was kind of in, you know, it was, I don't know if important is a good word to use, but it was part of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Going forward, so.
One thing I wish, though, like, they released these annuals, right, because there's 5 weeks in November, so there wasn't any books scheduled for this last week in November.
Yeah.
Everything had already been released in week 1, 2, 3, and 4. Back in the day when they used to have this, they would release... some kind of like a themed, like those, what was it in the new 52 with those holographic covers? The villains took over villains, the titles.
Yeah.
They did that line wide. So there was a whole whack of issues to pick up that week. Even going further back, you had the Amalgam comics, where it was DC and Marvel grabbing each other's characters and playing around with it. That came out in one of these week fives. That was good. I mean, the only thing that came out this week out of the big two was the Batman and the Superman for DC and then Star Wars for Marvel, which was pretty good. I like that tale. It had Princess Leia in it. And somebody who looked like What's the Gen 13 character? Tall.
The girl?
Yeah.
Caitlin.
Caitlin.
Yeah.
Is it Rampage or something like that?
Something, yeah.
I'll find out shortly, but that's another story.
Yeah. Well, the new Ghost Rider, number one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. You picked that up?
I did, yes.
How about you, Dan? Did you pick that up?
No.
No? Was it any good?
It wasn't as much. I'm not decided yet. I'd like to kind of, now that I'm, like, I just watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s finally. I don't know how long it's been off, but it's finally back.
Yeah, yeah, I watched
that. I'm just really enjoying that character. If I could think of his name.
Isn't it Reyes?
Reyes, Robbie Reyes.
Yeah.
And as much as I was so against it when I first saw him in the car, and I want to go back now and buy a series I had no interest in whatsoever, but I just found it a little confusing in that, I don't know if you want to call it spoilers or not, but if you don't want to listen, turn off the radio. You get Robbie, and then I honestly thought they misprinted it, because all of a sudden you have the Awesome Hulk or whatever he calls himself now, the
Amadeus Cho, the totally awesome Hulk.
Totally, yeah. And I think I'm reading, like, okay, did they misprint this? Like, what happened? And it goes back and forth, and then, obviously it meets up with, eventually, I guess. No, actually, I don't think it does meet up. But then all of a sudden, on the last page, there's X-23. And I'm going, like, okay, wait a minute. What's going on? This is just, I thought I wanted to see Ghost Rider. I didn't want to see the Awesome Hulk. And what's X-23 doing here? I don't get it. I don't understand. But I think I'd rather go back and get the original series that he was in, which has probably jumped up in value because of the show.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, because that wasn't the first time that that particular rendition of Ghost Rider came out, right?
Right.
How many issues did that previous one go?
Well, I don't think it was that many.
Because I feel like it was one of those Marvel Now rebooty 1.1 thingies. So, like, 12 issues, 6 issues?
Yeah.
I don't think it was as little as Spider... No, not Spider Girl. Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel, yeah.
That was like 3 issues and then they rebooted it, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, wow.
I've only read one issue with Robbie Reyes in it, and it was one of the, like, Secret Wars spinoff ones where he was in a death race with some other people, and it was, like, literally one of the worst comics I've read in my life. So, but maybe I'll check out the, because I have the Marvel Unlimited app, so maybe I'll check out the old Robbie Reyes, just not the Secret Wars version.
Yeah. Well, it was just last year, right? 2015 that was out. So, but yeah, I just think the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this is the best season so far out of all of it. And it's because of Ghost Rider, in my opinion, anyways.
No, it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I haven't watched since halfway through season one.
Yeah, see?
But it's also impossible to buy to get caught up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, only season one is, like, available regularly. Apparently, I guess Amazon has, like, some exclusive for season two. Same with Agent Carter.
Right.
So, if you want it, you have to watch it on their service or buy it through them.
Right, yeah.
I'm assuming that exclusivity will expire eventually and it'll come out. But that's still kind of a pain in the butt.
It is a pain.
You said Marvel Unlimited. I had that for a little while. Is it better? Is it worse? Give us your review on Marvel Unlimited digital service.
My review? What it's all about. Didn't we talk about this a couple weeks ago?
I don't know, did we?
I think we may have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we can move on then.
But my review is that the app keeps crashing on me.
There you go.
Boo.
Boo Marvel.
Yeah. On the Android?
Yeah.
Or on the iPhone?
On the Android.
Didn't I see DC is doing the same type of thing too now? I thought I saw something about that.
They're talking about it, but I don't think they've actually offered it yet.
Maybe that's what
it was. If they had the same thing, I would definitely do DC as well.
Yeah. Now, Comixology has theirs, Comixology Unlimited.
Maybe.
But it's only in the States. You can't get it in Canada yet.
Because I saw something about, like, all the Rebirth issues are here, and I don't know if that was...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe Comixology.
Well, I thought I saw, like, an ad on Comixology about the Rebirth issues
being
on sale or something.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, I know they were on sale on the actual Pay app.
Yeah.
But that's another story.
Yeah.
Oh! Sorry. We are tired.
Yeah.
Well, we got to talk about the four-part CW television crossover.
I haven't watched 3 and 4 yet.
You seriously haven't? No.
No? No.
Oh, my God.
But I have them ready to download, so if you want to talk about it, or I have them downloaded.
They're
so
awesome.
Yeah.
They're awesome. Like, Supergirl came out, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't...
I was disappointed with Supergirl.
One thing that you'll note, like, again, we'll try not to go too spoilery because you haven't seen 3 and 4, but Supergirl, I don't know if her contract or her budget or her time was limited, but her exposure in the series was pretty limited, I thought. Like, her issue, her episode, it's just a regular Supergirl episode, and then the last 3 minutes fires off this crossover.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Later on in the other things, she's like, oh, Flash comes in. Oh, this is my friend Kara. She's an alien. She like, oh, hi, guys. Yeah. I'm cute and cuddly. And then that's it. You know, you see her in a couple of battle scenes, but there wasn't any real character interaction. Did you see Mick talking to her?
Yeah.
Oh, so you saw that episode?
I'm not going to call you Supergirl. I think that's stupid.
He's easily become my favorite character on that DC Legends of Tomorrow.
I'm going to call you a skirt.
Yeah, I'm going to call you a skirt. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
And the, in the last episode, he walks by and goes, well, call me. So it was pretty good. But the Dominators, I mean, being all computer generated and stuff, I don't know, it didn't. They seemed a little less threatening, I thought, than the comic book invasion. But
well, they seemed to take them out pretty quick in Flash, like the heroes.
Yeah. There was a cheesy little MacGuffin at the in the last show on how they actually defeated them.
Oh.
And I was just like, really? I know the Flash is quick. I know Supergirl runs quick, but. To personally tag every single Dominator that's on Earth in X amount of time, it's like, oh. Yeah, but how? Let's talk about that for a second. Because, like, Flash is supposed to be super fast, and he can rebuild, like, an apartment building in seconds, right? But to him, in time, it doesn't go seconds. If it takes 6 weeks to build a house with a team of construction guys, he's actually sitting there in his own little relativity for 7, 8, 9 weeks building this house. Wouldn't you get bored out of your mind by yourself building a house?
Yeah.
That'd be nuts.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. La 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 la, here comes nail number 306. Duk, 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 duk. You'd go crazy.
Oddly enough, I guess we see that better in the X-Men movies with Quicksilver.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? When everything's frozen.
Oh, I love how they do that. That is just such a cool effect. And he's just like listening to some cheesy music and he's flipping bullets around and frying pans. And then when he turns the speed back off, everybody's, oh, that's great. That's great stuff.
I haven't watched Arrow, but I mean, from everything I've seen, it's like one big cheesy dream sequence or something.
Yeah, the Arrow one is a little bit more... It seems like the Flash episode and the DC Legends of Tomorrow episode are the most team up type books, episodes. The Supergirl episode, barely any content. The Arrow episode is basically an Arrow episode framed within the context of the invasion. So it's the one that sticks most on its own sort of course.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I mean, Arrow. Ugh.
But really, from what I've seen in the first two episodes, you don't even need to watch Supergirl. Because they recap it in Flash, the 3 minutes. So I was pretty disappointed.
Like,
with that.
Literally, the best part about it will be episode 2 and 4.
Yeah.
That's the action sequences. That's where all the characters are. The Arrow episode's very much about the Arrow team coming to grips with their own reality and stuff. Yeah. And you know, Barry's walking around, Flashpoint, I killed everybody, I changed everybody, oh, everybody's mad at me. By the end of the series, everyone's like, oh, look, we accidentally changed stuff too and realized how easy it is to do, and oh, we shouldn't be blaming Flash, sorry, Flash.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me a son instead of a daughter. Thanks for killing my brother.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody starts singing Kumbaya. But they were saying that the ratings on the Flash episode were the highest of the season for that show, so there's no way they're not doing this every year.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy Supergirl, but the biggest problem I'm having is Hank Henshaw.
Yeah.
The real Hank Henshaw being back, which is fine. I don't mind that at all. But in last week's episode, he's like, I'm Cyborg Superman. It's like, what? Like, where did you come up with that?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
In the comics, he was Cyborg Superman.
Yeah, but in the comic books, he just kept saying he was Superman. I don't think he ever identified as being Cyborg Superman.
Well, yeah,
he was the cyborg who wanted to be
Superman. But they didn't cover that. Maybe I fell asleep. I don't know. He just out of nowhere said, "I'm Cyborg Superman." It's like, well, shouldn't we build up to this a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you admire Superman? You know what I mean? It's just like...
You're wearing like a Superman costume underneath? No, like,
he's got no costume, nothing. He's just all of a sudden, "I'm Superman." It's like, all right, sure. Fine.
I like it better than the mechanic they have where Cisco Ramon names everybody and gives them cheesy names.
That's right.
I like that little MacGuffin better because it adds a little bit of humor to the fact. I just find it really cheeseball-y that somebody's going to put on spandex and "I am... My code name is now Wolverine."
That's right.
You know, because in real life, Logan wouldn't, put on a costume. He wouldn't run around calling himself Wolverine. He'd just be like,
"He's Logan.
I'm a guy who does things."
That's right.
I'm a millennial. I don't put labels on things.
How about Walking Dead Sunday?
I didn't watch it.
I watched it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, yes. You guys talk about it. It's okay. I'm good.
Okay, so...
What happened again?
The premise, after the big battle at the station where our guys killed all of what they thought was the saviors, which wasn't even close, Tara and...
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, the guy with the dreadlocks. Yeah,
Christine and I were just talking about it. Anyways, they take off.
Not Jesus.
No, and Christine and I were just talking
about it.
No.
What dreadlocks?
Anyways.
Well, he's sort of like a minor character.
He's from Alexandria.
Oh, I remember which one you're talking about. Yeah, I can't name him, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Glasses.
Yeah, with the glasses. Heath. That's right.
Thank you, Christine.
Is everybody desperately I
was waiting for Christine to text me. Thank you. So they take off.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, the real reason is Tara, the actress, was pregnant, so they gave her some time off.
Yes.
But we haven't seen them since. So... The premise, this whole episode was about Tara and Heath and where they've been. And apparently the ratings were just horrible. But I really enjoyed it because, you know, typical Walking Dead, it cuts in and out different times. But we see a completely, I'm sorry if you haven't seen it, spoilers.
No, go nuts.
If it shows us a completely different settlement, city, whatever you want to call it, of people that we've never, ever seen before. No, they're not in the comic. I just really enjoyed seeing different parts of the world, the U.S., that we haven't seen before. I just really, apparently a lot of the fans or the viewers, like I said, the ratings were horrible. But I enjoyed it.
I've heard some people talking about that, how... The numbers are a bit lower, but the hardcore fans are saying that they're actually better episodes, more characterization. Because
it was a character development kind of episode, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, they get separated, of course. But it was funny because you were joking about time travel. And when she woke up on the beach and she went into the settlement, and they were all women. And I'm like, this is why The Last Man. She just jumped universes.
There you go.
She's in a different comic book.
So that would be hilarious.
It was like, wait a minute. They're all women. But I thought it was a great episode. There was a connection to the saviors. And I definitely think they'll be back. Like, this isn't just a one-off. This was a very important connection.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I just like seeing a different area that we've yet to see, new people that aren't in the comic book. I just really enjoyed it.
I just kind of have a problem with people who get mad every time there's an episode that's not just action and like Negan beating somebody up.
Yeah.
Like the show needs downtime in between those big episodes. Just like episode number 2 was a slow episode because if you're watching them in succession after what happens in episode 1, you need some downtime before they start up again. Yeah. Right. So character driven stories are fine. Doesn't have to be driven by a bat named Lucille.
And the comic book did the same thing, right? Like, yeah. So there was a lot of character issues where if you... I used to read them trade paperback-wise. I know you guys read them monthly. But it just seems like as a monthly book, sometimes those slower issues, you'd be a little...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to read a few at a time because there's not a whole lot that happens.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about this last week, but I didn't. Something huge actually happened in the comic books. Either the past issue or the issue before. A major death that I haven't heard talked about anywhere. And it's the death of Lucille.
Yeah.
Lucille dies.
Lucille dies.
Negan, after who knows how long, finally gets his hands on her again.
Yeah.
And then breaks her over a guy.
Yeah.
And it's like the panels where he gets her back. You're like, yes, he has her back. I don't know why I'm cheering because he does such bad things with this, right. But he's finally got her.
Yeah.
And then he just immediately busts her and he almost starts crying.
Yeah.
And it was great. Like I was sad. But I thought that was pretty awesome.
Well, there was another, you know, quote, major death, like a death of a, I consider a major character, but it was just totally glossed over, and I actually had to go back and say, wait a minute, did that just happen?
Which one was that? I missed it.
It was the priest.
Oh, yes, Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yes, I caught that, and what an awful way that he goes, right?
It's like Kirkman, he just doesn't care, right? Like, did you catch that?
No.
He was on the water tower, or he was on a tower, a water tower.
Watching for the whisperers.
Yeah, and he climbs down the ladder and gets stuck and falls over, and he gets eaten by zombies. Right? It's like maybe six panels and hardly any words.
Yeah.
Going, wait a minute, what? You just, you know, it was like, okay. Every time I see him on the show now, I just laugh because it's like.
He's such a weird character on the show, though.
He is,
yeah. Like, I don't know. I haven't read too much of the comic with him in it, but like the show, he has just such a weird presence, that actor, you know?
Yeah. He just kind of shows up.
I'm not even really sure what the purpose of that character is.
Like, to get eaten by a zombie in the future.
It's not like he's actually adding anything to the narrative much.
Yeah. Well,
I think like in the show, he kind of does because he sort of represents like the Alexandria viewpoint of like not wanting to fight or whatever, right? And then comes over to the side of Rick and like let's fight and leads the charge and protects Judith and stuff.
But he also, I think he also represents the religious side, right? Like what do deeply religious people think of these zombies walking around?
What do deeply religious people think of these zombies? I missed that episode.
Well, I mean, the few episodes that had his origin,
yeah,
there was some pretty heavy stuff in that.
Because right? I haven't seen those ones.
Oh, you missed those?
No, like I skipped season 4 and 5.
Oh.
And went straight to 6 because I wanted to see what happened with Negan.
Well, he totally like blew off his the people that were looking up to him.
Yeah.
Right? Like how I can remember, I was just shocked that he just like locked them out of the church or whatever he did. He just like, ah, I'm scared. Sorry, you're on your own. Right? It's like, okay, that's pretty nice for your minister to
first,
do.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Abandon your flock in such a strange way.
And that's where his... You know, his thought process was the guilt and all that from that happening.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't believe they just killed him off so much easily in the books.
Yeah. Like, I think...
Oh,
I
guess he's dead.
I feel like they were probably thinking, like, okay, because that was, like, one of the first parts of the Whisper War, right? Maybe even the very first issue of the Whisper War.
Yeah.
They probably thought, like, we got to kill somebody. Like, we haven't killed anybody for, like, 4 or 5 issues. Who's left that's expendable, that we're not going to need? There's no, like, development still.
Yeah.
And then, like, Gabriel.
Yep, he's done.
Just do it.
I'm pretty sure that since the title is kind of winding down a little bit, they've got sort of an end game, end goal. I think Kurtman's just messing with people.
Oh, yeah.
He's just waking up in the morning, eating Cheerios, going,
this is what I'm doing. Yeah.
You know what would be good? I'm going to kill the priest. and I'm going to do it in a really dumb way. They're going to love it.
Yeah. But I told Christine, like, with the TV show, after the first episode with Negan killing who he killed, I told her, this is now a totally different story.
Yeah.
Whatever you're used to with Rick and the gang, this is now going forward a totally different show story. It's not, and from what I've seen about ratings and stuff, I'm not surprised because it's not the same. Like, you've got this guy with a tiger. How many people are going to believe that? I know it's a zombie show, who believes in zombies, but this guy has a trained tiger. And I loved how Carol was the representative of the audience, right? She's like going,
yeah, like, you're crazy. This is stupid.
Yeah, like, they had to do that. If everyone was like, hey, yeah, cool, lion.
When,
or tiger, sorry.
Just to prove your point, when that episode aired, one of my friends texted me the minute the tiger showed up and said, this is stupid, I'm never going to watch this show again. And I texted her back and I was like, just give it a little bit more. Don't be like that.
It's just totally different than what it was at the beginning.
And it is completely. Because like the beginning, it was just about surviving the zombies. Now they're surviving tigers and other people.
And Negan is not the governor. Like, he's evil, but he's different. Like, you can't say anything as a comic book reader, but he's different than the governor is.
I saw Jeffrey Dean Morgan was on a TV show the other day, and he had a letter that somebody had written him, and it said, I don't know if I should, when Negan's on the TV screen, I don't know if I should hate him or lick the TV. Because people are like so frantic over like this love of Negan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Christine's more love with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Well, I mean, yes, nobody actually loves Negan.
He was on the Kelly show yesterday, the day before, and she PBR'd and we watched it. So
yeah,
people just love him.
He's awesome. He was great in The Losers. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
I always forget that he's the dad in Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought that Supernatural made a mistake when they killed him off, like at the beginning of season 2.
Yeah.
You know, he could have been a better character just showing up randomly.
Yeah.
I also think that he should shave his beard.
Yeah.
Because he looked like, in the season finale from last year, he looked great, but now his beard's come out too much and I don't like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like, because he looked like a tough, like, scruffy guy before, and now his beard doesn't seem to fit his demeanor.
Yeah.
And as an expert in beards, I would know.
That's right.
Yes.
That is right.
Just going to sit here and stroke my sea captain.
That's right.
Sea captain. Yeah.
The kids challenged me not to trim my beard, so I haven't trimmed it in a month and a half. I don't know about you. Do you actually, this is a slightly off topic, but when you eat a sandwich, does the hair sometimes like get in there and get trapped and you kind of like end up plucking one or two while you're eating your sandwich?
I don't find that so much.
Because this is literally the longest my mustache is.
But yeah, I do trim my mustache though.
Oh, see? I'm not. I'm going for the whole.
I always get coffee in it.
There's this wicked picture of Mel Gibson with this like big long pointy beard he has now. Yeah. I keep telling the wife that's what I'm going for, and she's like, "Oh gosh."
Yeah.
So should be.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Speaking of oh gosh, how about Wizard World, eh? Running out of money for conventions and stuff. Did you guys read that?
Yeah.
Rob Liefeld said that Wizard is going tits up.
Yep.
Because they don't have enough funds to operate for 2017. What? No, Fan Expo is not Wizard World. Nope. See, now I'm going to go back in history here. Paradise Comics used to run one of the Toronto conventions. Who ran the other one?
You got
I
me.
I want to say Heroic Dreams, but I know that's wrong. Something that starts with an H or something. One of them sold out to Wizard. The other one sold out to somebody else.
Yeah, because there used to be that Wizard World convention.
Yeah.
I never went to it,
And then that died.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember who bought out who and whether Fan Expo was at one point in time owned by Wizard or not.
You got me.
Or was it the other convention? Yeah, the brain is not, the memory modules are not firing here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many Wizard conventions are there? I was about to say I've never been to one, but that's a lie. I was at the two Toronto ones. Hmm. Or one Toronto one. I don't know.
Well, the internet says that there's 16 Wizard World conventions scheduled for next year. That may or may not happen.
Yeah, that may or may not happen.
Yeah.
So what's Wizard World?
Well, you remember...
Is that just, like, the company?
Yeah, it's the company, right? Like, you remember Wizard Magazine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they decided to branch out into comic conventions, so they started running around... I don't know, did they just start buying conventions, or did they start running one or two of their own, and then they got a taste for it? And so I don't know the history of it, but they basically own a bunch of comic conventions, right? So definitely not San Diego. That's not them. Reed Pop is one of the companies in the background. I'm trying to remember. Gosh. No. I just can't remember. When you're actually on the convention floor, do you care who ran it?
Really? Not really.
Well, I was just going to say, how can you go to business running conventions like that? Because there's so many people there.
Yeah, but if it's not run right, you know, you overpromise or you underdeliver or...
I mean, if people stop coming, then yeah, that's a problem.
Like you guys ran a little antique show here, mm-hmm. and you were mentioning that just... The one day the city decided that your taxes are going to be higher for that.
Insurance.
And your insurance.
Oof, yeah.
You know, so if you're running a convention and then all of a sudden the conference center says, oh, by the way, there's this new ordinance, there's this ordinance.
Yeah.
You cut deals with certain vendors and they end up either not showing up or underperforming or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's lots of ways to go under.
Yeah.
You know? Offer too many promotions and give your tickets away for too much. I mean, I remember Fan Expo, a VIP pass was like $120.
Yeah.
Now it's $500-$600.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And of course, too many conventions. Like, there's a reason why there's not two Toronto major conventions anymore.
Yeah. That's right.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's just in towns and stuff where, is there a lot of people in New Orleans that read comic books? Can you store comic books in the water like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, so we'll see how that goes. I'm pretty sure the big major conventions aren't in any danger.
No.
Fan Expo is what, the third largest in North America?
Something like that, yeah.
Right after New York.
New York and San Diego being
number one. Yeah. We're going to have to make a pilgrimage to San Diego one of these days.
Yep.
Save up for 5 years and then that way we'll be able to afford one night at a hotel down there.
Yeah.
What else we got?
You're the one clicking on the internet.
Is Legends of Tomorrow bringing in Camelot 3000? Did you guys read Camelot 3000?
Mm. I know what it is, but...
You didn't read it?
If I did, it's been a long time.
What? Seriously?
But now it's probably going to go up in value.
Yeah, oh, probably.
That's awesome. There's tons of trade paperbacks of it. You got to find it. Yeah. Like, basically, it's in the near future, they stumble across... King Arthur's tomb, his crypt, and it opens up and King Arthur actually comes out of his crypt alive, and then slowly other people they've been reincarnated. So Lancelot was reincarnated a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Once Arthur comes out, Merlin's magic sort of reawakens those personas in these resurrected people.
Oh, yeah.
So all of a sudden this guy's walking along and all of a sudden he's like, here ye they, there in
yeah.
underneath in Lyth. He's like, oh, wait, my name's Lancelot, not Larry. And they end up defeating these aliens that are invading England at the time. It was an epic comic book. It was pretty good. 12-issue maxi series.
Is this one that you're going to reread now, 30 years later, and just be like, nope, garbage?
No, I've reread this one at least once every 2 years.
Okay.
Like, there's a couple of trade paperbacks I have that I end up rereading almost every year. So Watchmen, Dark Knight Returns, Marvel's Kingdom Come. This is one of them. Camelot 3000. It's a really good book. You guys should pick it up. It's good. And yeah, like you said, I mean, the back issues right now are pretty cheap. Easy to find. Gosh, only knows after this. But they unearthed a script. And on the cover of the script, it says episode 212, Camelot/3000. So it sounds like the Legends of Tomorrow are either going to go slightly into the future or slightly into the past and come across this universe, which should be interesting. I don't know. Legends of Tomorrow.
But isn't in TV code, like, episode 212 would be like season 2, episode 12?
Yeah.
Is that, like, where are we in the show right now?
we're season 2, right?
Yeah.
Episode
7, 8.
7 or 8?
9. Yeah. Like, it's been quite a few. So this should, if this is episode 12, it should be soon.
Oh, yeah, it'll be soon. Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the date on the script is November 29th, 2016. Shoot date, December 1st to December 12th. So they're shooting
so
it
like,
right
literally,
now.
Okay, so that's how it came up.
Yeah. Right. So they're shooting it right now. Like, well, that's how the TV shows run, right? They don't film all 12 episodes and then release them. They're actually shooting them while they're while they're being run. So.
Just in case they get canceled.
Yeah, so that should be interesting. I don't know. I like Legends of Tomorrow, but I think it's the one that takes the most freedoms with the characters. You know, putting Vixen in Justice Society of America and Commander Steel looking all funk and grooving, even though his original name was Steel. But then I Carly looked at his costume. My wife looked at his costume when he was on that episode, and she's like, "Why does he look like Captain America?" And I'm like, No. This is that he looked like that in the 70s. Hold on, he looks more like Fighting American, who was like before Captain. Hold on, let me. And I'm trying to Google image search this. So I typed in Steel, and that what's his name? Not Jeremy Irons, Jeffrey Irons. What was the one that Shaq played? The Death of Superman Steel.
Oh, yeah.
John Henry? John Steel? Henry.
Yeah. Big guy, armored, with the big, huge hammer. I'm Superman with a hammer.
Yeah.
So there's lots of images of him, but very few of the original 70s Steel.
Yeah.
I had to type in Commander Steel to find that, and I'm like, oh. That's like calling Captain Marvel Shazam. Oh, I hate that. That's not right. That's not right. This is a good one for Chris here. So Jean Grey was going to get her own series, right? And they showed like a little preview image. And everyone's like, hey, that doesn't look like teenage Jean Grey that was brought to the future by Beast. That looks more adult-like. Are they bringing back the original Jean Grey? And the interwebs went nuts. So finally somebody said, no, that's the teenage Jean Grey. So everybody calm yourself, relax. I don't know. I don't think that image looks like she's an adult.
No, not really.
No, so she's getting her own series and so is Iceman.
Well, they mentioned that there's a whole whack of X-Men and Inhuman titles that haven't even been announced yet coming out of this Resurrection timeline thing. I mean, you and I were talking about X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold.
Yep.
I don't know how I feel about that. I was excited, then it was less excited, and then when you kind of reminded me that that's not quite the team that I really liked in the 80s, that was a few issues later, and I'm like, oh, really?
It's still better than what it's been, though, like Gold. Blue, I just don't. Blue is the kids. That's all I call them, the kids from the past.
Sure,
Which... just send them back. I'm done.
Or kill them.
I don't start giving them kill their them own all. Series. Like,
yeah.
And what's the gold?
Gold is what it should be called. Uncanny to me.
Okay.
Uncanny X-Men.
It's the uncanny team from like 83-ish, 84.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the ones that I was talking about was like 85-ish, 86-ish, right? A little bit later. So it's
Rachel Summers.
Rachel Summers as Phoenix.
Although she's changed, she's not being Phoenix, right? She's changing her name.
Yeah, she might change her name. Yeah. Cyclops is in there. No, Cyclops isn't in there.
Because he's apparently dead.
Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
Not Dazzler. Who's the.
No.
Now we're brain farting again because we're just tired. We'll have to type here. So please ignore the man behind the curtain.
That's right.
X-Men, Gold.
So now your article, though, on Jean Grey says that the original, or like Jean Grey, has been dead for 12 years.
Yeah,
that's quite a while in comic book time.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how many people know or don't know, but what they did was they brought back the original 60s-ish X-Men as teenagers, and they brought them into the future because most of those characters were dead, right? Cyclops was dead. Jean Grey was dead. Angel was Archangel. Is Archangel still around or is he?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah. Iceman. So they brought them back as I don't know. I can't remember even the details why they brought them back. Beast had some kind of idea that he was going to...
Yeah.
Oh, to stop the stop the older Scott Summers.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
try to talk some sense into him. So, yeah, this team is going to be Storm, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Old Man Logan, which is Wolverine, and Rachel Gray. What? Rachel Gray? Why do they call her Rachel Gray, not Rachel Summers? What happened there?
I think she, she just changed her name because that's...
And, of course, Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, Kitty Pryde, yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Now, I was looking at the art teams and, you know, Superman Annual, they bring out, like, the A-team, like, the best artists that they have. You would think when relaunching this title... Now, these guys aren't by any means bad. Was it Adrian Siaf?
Yeah.
Siaf? Siaf? There's no ski on the end, so I can't be expected to be pronounce that name. And he's not horrible, but I don't know.
Like, I kind of like his stuff on some stuff, but I don't know if it's, like, what I would go for on, in this.
Yeah, like, that's what I was worried about. And I was watching some images of theirs. It looked okay. But it's, I mean, don't you want to, like, knock it out of the park?
Yeah.
When you're relaunching the books?
It's Marvel. They don't care.
You know?
So are all the X-Men...
Jorge, like, Molina.
Extraordinary X-Men must be ending because...
As far as I know, all the X-Men titles are done, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because of this Inhumans X-Men Resurrection.
Resurrection, yeah.
Resurrection. I have an action watching Resurrection.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I don't know.
So that's X-Men Gold, and X-Men Blue is the five kids that were brought.
Like, I should be excited about this, and I'm not.
Yeah.
Is that just Marvel apathy on my part? Probably. Is it because my pull list is so huge with other stuff that if I buy this, I'm going to have to cut something else out, and I really like everything else on my pull list?
Yeah.
So why take a chance?
Yeah.
I probably will go with X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold. But is it going to be like, you know, my collection is so littered. Amazing Spider-Man 1 through 4.
Yeah.
You know, Doctor Strange 1 through 3. You know, I give it a go. I try. And it's just like, no.
Yeah.
No. Somebody was asking online for OMAC 4 to 6, and I've got like 1, 2, and 3. I'm like, you gave it as much time as I did.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But I just, you would just think they would like.
And like the writer, though, Cullen Bunn.
Well, Cullen Bunn I like because he's a bit of a nostalgia freak like I am. Like, he's doing the Micronauts comic. So he's got that sensibility from... in the past. So if you're going to be doing an X-Men title and you're trying to recapture some of the glory,
okay,
maybe trying to come back with some of that 80s, late 80s, early 90s X-Men should be good. I don't know. Even the names, X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue, that was like the names of the early 90s teams, the Uncanny X-Men team and then the X-Men team. So it's out of my wheelhouse a little bit. I want to go back a decade. Like, bring back Chris Claremont. He's just sitting there doing nothing.
He's just sitting there. Just do it.
Just doing nothing. Bring him back. And Jorge Molina. I can pronounce that one. Jorge Molina. He's all right. His art's okay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
So we'll see how that goes. And then, of course, we've got the Justice League of America coming. America. It'll be interesting. I had no interest in this whatsoever. None. When I read the original lineup, right? Because they're coming out with... The four preview issues. So it's what? Not Amadeus Cho. The other one. What's Adam's? He's a Cho as well, isn't he?
Yes, but I can't remember.
Ray Palmer's protege.
Yeah.
What the heck is his name? Anyways, doesn't matter. He's coming. He's going to be the Adam. There's Killer Frost. Ryan Cho.
There you go.
Ryan Cho. I'm going to say that that came to me, but it didn't. I finally found it on the internet. Who else was there? Killer Frost. See, I can't even remember. That's how uninterested I am. And then when they actually released the cover image for the real book, because these are just like kind of preview books, they got Lobo, Batman, and Black Canary. And I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I wasn't going to be, but I'm in.
An old school Lobo, not the new young.
Yes, not Twilight. Not Twilight Lobo.
Come on.
Not Twilight Lobo.
Yeah. See, so DC isn't perfect either, but come on.
Vixen, the Ray. That's the other guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the weird Ray.
Black and gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I always got him and Aztec mixed up.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be two attempts at characters that just didn't jive.
Now, because right now, what's his name? Brian Hitch? Is writing Justice League of America, which has been delayed, and he's kind of playing catch-up. Like, I just ignored it because
exactly.
I have no idea where it takes place.
Justice League of America was supposed to be ended with the New 52 and Rebirth.
Yeah.
But it's been so delayed that they're releasing the issues anyways to just tie that up. So I think number 10 came out last week, or was it this week?
I just keep seeing it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But it's Superman, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it's the New 52 era. So they're tying that all up and releasing this story. I mean, just cut bait. Like, if you're that late, just give up. Just give up.
Civil War number 8.
Just give up. Yes. That's the other rant we've got.
Yes.
So what was it? You go ahead. Launch into the Civil War thing.
Again, I'm not reading it, but Civil War number 8 was supposed to be out November 2nd, and it's due out December 28th now, and they pushed it back. But now they've got, like, 6 different artists drawing like 3 pages each just to get it done or something.
They did the same thing with Secret Wars, didn't they?
Secret Wars was delayed. And
it was issue 7, was it? No. The last two issues were split in half.
Issue 7 was just a short half issue.
Yeah.
And they split the last issue into 2 because they weren't done. But I thought the issue before that was a big, huge jam session where everybody was doing a couple of pages.
Yeah.
It's like, this is so late. Here, can you pump out 2 pages for me this week? Can you pump out 2? Like, come on, people. It's not that hard. If you're going to release an event book like this, get it done so that, you know, how many spoilers have been ruined already because the other titles are launching that were supposed to come out after this?
Yeah.
At least Justice League of America, it doesn't matter because nothing earth-shattering is happening in that title that'll affect the Rebirth books.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I mean, you're confused, I'm confused. You just lose all momentum. Why bother?
Well, you know, there's a new girl and she's now Iron Man. And so, okay, where's Tony? And all these rumors about number 8, and it's like, oh, okay, all right, I know where you're headed.
Exactly.
They're going to either off him or he's going to go into hiding or something like that. I don't know.
Fake his own death and escape to an island and learn how to shoot a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Well, Spider-Man is Iron Man now, so.
Civil War, every title had its own separate Civil War spinoff or Civil War issues.
And yeah, like, I had that Justin Trudeau cover, right? Yeah. So I'm trying to enter it into the database, and it just says Civil War 2 on the cover. So I'm like, oh, it's not here. So I figured I had to enter it into the database. So I'm like scanning and stuff, and then I scanned the barcode, and it said, oh, that barcode's already in the system. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And it was like Civil War 2, Choosing Sides, issue 4 or something. So I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I thought this was just like the regular Civil War, but this was like some side miniseries off of the main miniseries, not even tied in directly to a regular book. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. And at the same time, the regular series are running. Like, Amazing Spider-Man's running, and he's got Amazing Spider-Man Civil War. And they just overdo it.
Just bananas. Yeah. Give it a rest.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm not reading it. I know Tweedle's reading it, and Sam's saying that it's a really good story and it's a good read. So maybe I'll pick it up as a trade paperback. But
yeah,
well, you'll have to get caught up for Civil War 3 next year.
No, that's God. Right. Actually, I think it's gonna be Secret Wars 3. Civil War.
Yeah.
Fall of the Secret Civil War Mutants.
Yeah.
Resurrection. Civil War with
the fight
an S.
for movie rights.
The fight for movie rights, exactly.
See, as much as some people make fun of the 90s and hate the 90s, I think they're awesome.
I don't hate the 90s because there was a lot, like you said, there's a lot of good stuff, right? Yeah. Fall of the Mutants and Age of Apocalypse. Come on.
Yeah.
That was amazing. But when you see that cover that they post on one of the Facebook groups of the chromium prism cover of Fantastic Four, and Human Torch is wearing a leather jacket that's on fire. Thing is wearing a leather jacket with the sleeves pulled up. Sue Storm is wearing this boob window 4 cut out of her thing, yeah, yeah, and thighs everywhere, with leather jacket with her sleeves pulled up.
Yeah.
And then there's Reed Richards wearing a leather jacket with sleeves pulled up with pouches on his You're just like, oh, pouches. Come on.
We love pouches.
There's a lot of fun stuff, but there was a lot of cheese ball stuff too. Yeah. Like some of those Extreme Justice. And what was the Marvel one? Force Works.
Oh, Force, yeah.
Let's take the Avengers team and make them extreme and call them Force Works. Yeah. Who was the, it wasn't Iron Man. Who was the, it looked like an Iron Patriot on the cover of Force Works. Can't remember whether that was Captain America's replacement for a little while. It was named Johnny Walker or something.
Oh, yeah. The, he had the black outfit, right?
Yeah. So, anyways, but that seemed like a cheesy butt title too. Force Works.
With the
3D lenticular die, yeah, cut cover.
Yeah, U.S. agent.
U.S. agent. And then Extreme Justice, where Booster Gold's wearing Rocket Red's uniform painted blue and gold. Yeah. That used to give me the giggles. I guess it still does.
Still does.
Oh, well. What can you do? Well, our time's winding down here a little bit once we play some station IDs and some themes. This is my last show for 2016. We only got one more left, and then we're taking a break for the Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
You guys will be here or not here. I don't know. There's some debate whether we've got enough hosts that know week. How to use the board.
Yeah.
So there might be a recorded show, or this might be the last show. So yeah, just in case it is, happy holidays to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy Crazy Kwanzaa.
Yep.
Festivus for the rest
happy
of us.
Happy comics.
That's right.
Happy comics.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess we'll see you guys in 2017. HeyKidsComics.ca or HeyKidsComics on the Facebook page for any news and stuff. So if we do release a little mini episode or something, or we record something, that's where it'll be. Otherwise, we'll see you later. Have fun. If I can remember how to click the button on the panel.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.
You're listening to Trent Radio, 92.7 FM, CFFF, the station where 80s music like this is cool again. But luckily for you, it ain't the only cool thing. So tune in all the time for a kick-ass variety of programming, prepared and produced by local folks just like you. That's right, Trent Radio's all you need. I don't need your love. Trent Radio will give you love. Why can't you say? Trent Radio will give you lots of loving. Do what you want.